Nice to have you here today at First Church. If you're here for the very first time, let me welcome you. My name's Pastor John, and we're just overjoyed to have you here today. I hope as you came in this morning that you read above the back doors back there our mission, our purpose. Our purpose is to bring glory and honor to God and to enjoy Him. How long? Forever. That's right. And our mission is to help people fall in love with Jesus. So if you're here today, we hope that you get a closer walk with Him because of being here. I'm really excited over the next five weeks, because later on this month is one Sunday. We're doing Elder Sunday, where the elders are going to lead and preach. But we're going to be studying 1 Thessalonians over the next month or so and talking about this idea of faith and what it looks like to stand firm in our faith. Let me start by sharing a little illustration with you to help you. Can you tell what this is? What is this? If you're probably older than 40 or 50, you probably don't even know. But this is called earbuds. Okay, these are actually my earbuds, and it's interesting because these are brand new. My dog ate the others. How about it? My neighbor's dog ate the others. No, it was my dog. Wasn't the neighbor's dog. It was my dog. But, oh my gosh, it was. But anyway, had to replace my earbuds, so I went out and bought these. And if you're of a mind of speakers and things of long ago, these are Bose earbuds. They're pretty expensive, actually, but I got them. But here's the thing. I bought these things, and I just could not get them to connect. I couldn't get the Bluetooth to connect. You know, I probably shouldn't even use this illustration first service because all the young people are going to be later on. And you're here, you guys are my age, you're older, and you probably don't understand that. But they have this thing called Bluetooth now on your phone, on your computer, all this kind of stuff where you can connect these devices. And these connect with the Bluetooth. And I just couldn't get them connect. It would just, my computer and my phone and my iPad, they would all just spin and it wouldn't connect. And you know what I thought? I just thought that was a great illustration of us here today. I mean, we're here, we want to connect. And you know what? Some of you here this morning, your little hourglass is just spinning, okay? And God wants to click on your connection, and He wants you to connect with Him in worship, in remembering Him in communion, and in right now as we're hearing His word. But how many of us are having this struggle with connection? Because you know what? I finally got them connected. You know how I got them connected? I have no idea. I just kept clicking and watching YouTube videos and just kept doing the same things over, and all of a sudden, they were. You know what, folks? I hope today is your day that your connection with God finally works and that you can feel Him speaking to you and helping you along the way of life. Because here's what I know about standing in faith. God blesses us. Jesus loves us. And the Spirit wants to lead us. And when we make that connection with Him, we can finally have this joy of knowing that we hear Him and that we have His direction and His will going on in our lives. But here's the amazing thing, folks. This whole book, this whole idea about standing firm, and if you study the book of Thessalonians was one of the very first books that was ever written by Paul that's part of the New Testament. And Thessalonica was such an interesting city because it was multicultural. It was very diverse. There were new believers that were there, and Paul wanted to help them along the way of trusting in God. And here's the thing, folks. The diversity of people, their diversity of thought, the diversity of culture made Thessalonica and us even today a place where we are challenged to stand firm in our faith. Because here's the thing, folks. Most of the time, people have a different definition of what it means of standing firm. Here, let me tell you what I mean. Here's what I mean. A lot of people think that standing firm is the way you think. In other words, I don't believe all this stuff. I don't believe all these things that the world's trying to teach me. I believe differently. I believe in God. I know God blesses me. I know Jesus loves me. I want the Spirit to lead me. But we think that standing firm means it's something that we do up here. But standing firm in reality is what the world sees us doing as we live out our faith in Him. Listen. We all experience difficulties and difficult seasons in life. And I don't think it's going to be breaking news to anybody here today, but we have a great challenge today in our faith to be steadfast, resolute, through difficult times and through times of challenge. And when we see our world and when we see our culture go a different way. No, we stand firm, not just how we think, but actually in how we live. And that's what Paul wants to help the young Christians at Thessalonica with. He wants to help them to be encouraged. He wants to help them to be encouraged. Look at this word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. I have it here for you. He says, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful passage? What a great word for us today. These three specific areas, this work produced by faith, this labor prompted by love, this endurance inspired by hope. Work, labor, endurance are active. They're dynamic words. They're not just words that you believe standing still, but they're words that you believe in the way that you act. And Paul here is talking to this young Thessalonian church, and he's talking to them about exercising their faith. Their faith could not be a passive faith, nor could it be a diverse a faith in a diverse culture, in a different kind of atmosphere, in a cosmopolitan city. But they had to act a certain way, and the people needed to see them to act a certain way. Let me give you an example. Not too long ago, my grandson Jack was over visiting, and I was sitting down in my easy chair in my basement, and we were watching some game or something, I don't know, but over beside my chair, there's a 25-pound dumbbell, okay? 25-pound dumbbell. You can tell I use it, right? Well, Jack says, Pappy, what is that? And I told him what it was. He said, what do you do with it? I said, well, you exercise. And he was trying to pick it up, and, you know, I showed him what you do with it and everything, and he said, do you use it? I said, well, sure I use it. And he said, I've never seen you use it. And you know what? He was right. Has the world ever seen you use your faith? I'm not talking about what you believe. I'm not talking about what's going on up here. I'm talking about in the way that you live. And I'm not talking about being judgmental. I'm not talking about calling out somebody's sin. I'm just asking you, has people ever seen you depend on your faith for anything significant? Have they seen you stand up for your faith in a divisive culture and in the time in which we live? These folks needed the encouragement of Paul to keep going in their faith. This is in large part why he wrote to them in the first place. To strengthen them, to equip them, to admonish them, to exhort them to keep going. In another epistle and letter to Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life of which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Don't give up fighting, Paul says to Timothy. Take hold of your life, take hold of your faith, and stand firm in what God has done for you. You know, many years ago, before I ever came here as pastor, Arlene and I decided through God's direction that we were going to move, and that's when we got in touch with you folks and came over here. And you know, I'll never forget the first time I came over here, you know, 30 years ago, and Carl DeCasper. You remember Carl? Carl was a great guy, and he called me and he said, you know, please call me, John. We'll set this thing up. And so I called him, and I called him at work. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but Carl worked at New Pig. I had no idea what New Pig. I thought it was a bacon company or something. So I called, and this receptionist answered. I said, may I speak to Carl DeCasper? She said, sure. And then she put me on hold while she got Carl to the line. And when she put me on hold, this song came on. It's like, down by the barnyard, out by the fence, here comes the pigs, piggy, piggy, piggy. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Where have I called? Who? I almost like wanted to hang up and say, you know what? I'm not interested anymore. Those people over there are weird a little bit, you know. But Carl came on, of course, started this relationship. And we came over and visited and candidated for you guys. And you guys offered us the position to come here and minister. We had these two little kids. I've never told you this. Afterward, we went back home in Ohio. We were going to prepare to move. And the very next day, I got a call from a church in Johnson City, Tennessee, 40 miles from my home. And they said, John, we'd like for you to come down and interview with us and see about the possibility of you coming and being our pastor. You know what? I certainly you know the truth now, but I wrestled that night with that. I thought, God, what's your will here? I'd made this commitment here, and all of a sudden I had this thing before me that was so enticing. But Arlene and I just decided that we would trust the work and the will of God. And we never followed through on that other place. You know, that was difficult because I didn't know. Certainly, if I'd have known all you guys, I would have said, no way. But I didn't know you guys. Now I know you guys, and I know it was the right decision. But at that moment, it was a tough thing to do. Listen, friends, there's going to be times in life when you have difficult times, that you have difficult decisions to make, and you need to stand firm in your faith in God. Apart from any encouragement from other people. But here Paul is encouraging these people to stand firm. You know what he says something else here too? He talks about building each other up. The New Testament, there's lots of references to building things up. Not tearing down, but building up. And the type of language that Paul uses here is how he encourages these people to build up in Christ and into a firm, unshakable faith. Notice verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 8 through 11 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at it here. He says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I submit to you today that this is one of the commands that God gives us in His Word, that people break time and time again. If you'd hear God whisper in your mind and in your ear every time you're speaking to somebody, build each other up. Wouldn't it change the way you talk? Wouldn't it change the way you act? Wouldn't it change the way that you live? the word Paul uses here for build is the same root word that Jesus uses in Matthew 16 when he says, I will build my church. Take a look at Matthew 16, verse 18. Do we have that here? Yeah, he said, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Jesus says that I'm going to build my church. And Paul picks up that language and says, build each other up, encourage one another. Paul's exhortation here to the Thessalonians is to continue this building project, to recognize that God is not through with you. You know, I had a conversation with a fellow not long ago, and he's going to actually be overseeing our Celebrate Recovery program. Just in a few months, we're going to kick that thing off again, and we have a guy that's very interested in doing it. You know what his biggest struggle was? To make sure that he believed that God had forgiven him in his past. Isn't that where we all are? To know that God wants to use us, and while the devil wants to discourage us, that says we are caught in our sin and we can never do anything right, God and his church should be those that encourage us to become all that he wants us to do. And with that in mind, what more can we do than stand firm, encourage one another, and have faith that Jesus will return one day for his church? Stand firm. God blesses us. Jesus loves us. The Holy Spirit leads us. By faith, we believe that Jesus lived. He died. He rose again and will eventually return. By faith, that we know that Jesus told us that trouble will come and then that the enemy will try to deceive us believers up until the very end. But God has a word for us. Take a look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 to 25. Look at this. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. I have told you ahead of time. How many of us as parents have ever told our children, I'm telling you something, and then after they make a mistake that we'd made many times when we were young, we tell them what? I told you. I know my mother believed that she would have saved me from almost all perils in life if I would have just listened. You know, see, that's the way we are. We don't have a hearing problem. We have a listening problem. We hear fine. But do we pay attention to what God and others in faith are saying to us? We've been warned. By faith, we're encouraged to stand firm until the end. The message of hope and encouragement is repeated throughout the letters of Paul, and maybe the most famous one in the book of Ephesians, where Paul encourages believers to stand firm and to embrace the full armor of God. Look at this, Ephesians 6 in verse number 10. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, church, our battle is not actually with flesh and blood. It's not with our neighbors. It's not with our workers. It's not with our supervisors. It's not with our family. It's not with our children. It's not with our church. It's with the devil and his cohorts, and he will do anything and everything to get us off the path. And we need people that will encourage us to stand firm. Listen, I'm not telling you what to think about and what to believe, but I'm telling you what you need to show the world. That my faith is real. And Jesus Christ is my Lord. I don't know if you've ever played tug of war. I've been in a few of those. I mean, really, I don't mean figuratively. I don't mean, you know, in your mind. But if you've ever played tug of war, you know that it's important to do a few things. Number one, get a firm grip. Get a resolute stance and use every ounce of strength that you have to pull. Folks, that's kind of what we're in a tug of war with the devil. We're in a tug of war with our culture. We're in our tug of war with the diversity in our land today. And God needs people that will stand firm in their faith. I'm not saying about what you believe, but I'm saying by how you act. I know there's people here this morning that feel exactly like that. You're in a tug of war. You're in a tug of war maybe with your mate, with your children, with your job, or even with yourself. And you are being pulled. I mean, you have a firm grip. You got a good stance. You're tugging with all your might. But you're being pulled to exhaustion, because that's usually what happens. One team or another just loses their grip, loses their stance, or gets so tired that they can't hang on anymore. And the game goes to the opponent. If you remember, when you had those kinds of games, if you had one particular person, I don't know who it was, it's probably different for all of us. If there was one person in your class, in your home, in your neighborhood that you know is stronger physically than most everybody else. And if I've got that person on my side, this tug of war is going to be a piece of cake, right? You know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm saying to you today, folks, that person is Jesus Christ. You know, if I go back to these AirPods again, there was really something amazing. I've never had a pair of these before that are actually noise canceling. I put these things in, and it shuts out all of the other noise. I've had several pairs of these. Just the only pair I've ever had that did that. A couple of nights ago, I was laying in the bed at night, and I was listening to a podcast and having a really nice evening. All of a sudden, Arlene burst into our bedroom, and she's like, "John!" And I, "What?" She said, "I'm out here screaming for you." And I said, "Man, I love these things." But it was amazing how it literally cut off the noise. No, I'm not talking about Arlene now, okay? I'm past Arlene. It cuts out all the noise that's going on in the world. Imagine that, if we could spiritually put a pair of earpods in our ear that would cut off all the noise of the world, and that we would just hear the sweet music of Jesus Christ in our ear. How much easier it would be to stand firm. So I want to challenge you today to begin having gospel conversations with people that are around you. Now, what do I mean by a gospel conversation? I don't mean necessarily just, you know, telling somebody the plan of salvation and trying to get them to accept that. I'm talking about any time that you have a conversation with someone and you tell them that God has blessed me, that Jesus loves me, the Holy Spirit leads me, and they see you standing in your faith. You see, folks, my grandson needs to see me using that weight. And the world needs to see us and you using our faith and noticing that faith is making us strong. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray, Lord, that you would be with us today, Father, help us to establish and to maintain that connection with you. Help us, Lord, to know that by faith, Lord, we can stand. But Father, our world, although we think our world is so different and so difficult, it really wasn't much different than it was during the day of Paul when he wrote these words to the Thessalonican people. They lived in a multicultural city. They lived in a cosmopolitan city. They lived in a crossroads of business and commerce. They lived in a city that had many gods, many faiths, many religions. And here comes the Apostle Paul, his second journey. He established this young church there. And then he wrote back to them to be encouraged and to encourage and to teach them what it looks like, Lord, to stand in their faith. So I pray, Lord, that today that we would initiate gospel conversations with people that we encounter. Not to embarrass them, not to judge them, not to put them on the spot, but to show them what God is doing in our lives. Because, Lord, your word tells us that if we hold up Jesus before the world, that he'll draw all people unto himself. Father, use us for that wonderful thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, please, and sing this wonderful song of commitment.